David refused, listen good, David refused to make an offering to God that cost him nothing.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In this final part of this three-part series entitled, How to Know If Your Faith is Real, Pastor Brian Grant will outline for us from Scripture some of the marks or evidences of true faith and what such a faith that passes the test will produce in the life of the believer. This evening, we will air the first part of this challenging and encouraging message. So we invite you to have your Bibles handy and listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings his message entitled, How to Know If Your Faith is Real, Part 3. Here is Pastor Grant.
The story is told of a young investment banker. He was driving his brand new BMW on a snow-covered road, on a mountain road. And here he's coming up the mountain. It went around a sharp turn. He lost control. The car skidded. He lost control of the car. And the car was sliding towards the precipice. And just in the nick of time, this young man, he was able to unbuckle his seatbelts and jump from the car. And just as soon as he got out of the car went off the edge, went down the embankment, and burst into flames down the ravine. You know, fortunately for him, or unfortunately, he had escaped. But his arm got caught in a hinge of the door. As he jumped, it tore this arm off from the shoulder. So a truck driver stopped behind him. Truck driver saw what happened. He stopped. He came to help. And as he came up to the man was lamenting. And he said, "My BMW, my new BMW." The truck driver looked at him and said, "Man, you got bigger problems than that BMW. Don't you realize your arm is missing? We better hurry and find that arm. If we hurry, we may get a surgeon who can put it back on." When the man looked and saw his arm was missing, he says, "My Rolex! My brand new Rolex!" He had lost his Rolex watch on the arm that had been torn off. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we're so captivated by material things, we lose sight of what's really important. And I'm here to tell you this morning that nothing is more important than being prepared for eternity, than being sure that you're on the road to heaven. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning is still not sure you're on that road to heaven. Listen, that's the most important thing ever in life, to be sure you're on the road to heaven. And today I want to conclude a message that I started. This is part 3 and the final part of this message. How to know if your faith is real. In part 1, we learned that real faith is more than saying the sinner's prayer. Because real faith results in a changed life. And I shared with you then that real faith is evidenced by spirit-motivated works. In part 2 last week, I shared with you that real faith will always be tested, that God will send tests into our lives to mature us and to help us determine our spiritual progress. But today, as I wrap this message up, I want to share with you that real faith motivates true worship. After a very long time and a long wait, at age 100, Abraham finally had his son Isaac, the son that God had promised him. Abraham was anxious like some parents. Abraham was anxious for Isaac to get a wife and to start working on the grandchildren. Amen. But in Genesis 22, God sent Abraham a curveball. And God said to Abraham, listen, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And without any delay, Abraham took Isaac. He started the journey. And on the third day, hold on to that. I'm not going to preach that, but you hold on to that because I'm going to say something important towards the end. On the third day, something happened on the third day. Amen. On the third day, they finally arrived at Mount Moriah. And I want us to pick up the story in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 5. Genesis 22, verse 5. And here's what Abraham said. Here's what the Bible says. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. We will go yonder and do what? Worship. This is a very significant verse because this is the first time the word worship appears in the Bible. I'm not saying this is the first time anyone worshiped. I'm saying this is the first time the word worship appears. And there's a principle that is called the first mention principle. And the first mention principle is one of the techniques that's used in biblical interpretation. And what the first mention principle is about is that the first mention of any doctrine is important because it provides keys to guide our understanding of that doctrine in the rest of Scripture. There are some keys that you get when a doctrine is mentioned the first time. There are some keys that will help you unlock and guide you as you interpret that doctrine in the rest of Scripture. So today, we have a very interesting portion of Scripture because today we're talking about worship, and we're looking at the Scripture that gives us the very first time worship appears in the Bible. I want to share three things with you. Oh, I could have shared some more. I tell you, the big challenge is time. But this morning, I only want to share with you three things about worship. And the first thing I want to say to you is that true worship requires consecration. True worship requires consecration. Now, when we think of worship, some of us will automatically think of the music. Amen. But it's interesting, Genesis 22 makes no mention of keyboards, sorry Brother Chris, or drums, Brother Greg, no mention of these things, Sister Cheryl, not even a choir, Brother Daryl, not even the men's chorus. There is no worship team, there is no music in Genesis 22. Instead, Genesis 22 focuses on a sacrifice. There was no music. Instead, there was an altar. I don't want you to miss that, because I believe there's something we can learn about worship here that we might miss as we look at worship in other passages of Scripture. The first principle, this first mention principle is important. And the first mention of worship is not about the music. The first mention of worship is about the altar. We often focus on Abraham, but let us not bypass Isaac. Because listen, Isaac gives us one of the best examples of consecration anywhere in the Bible. It's not clear how old Isaac was. Some say he was in his 20s, some say he's 30s, some will tell you he was 33, some Jewish scholars say he's 33. I'll let you work that out. Oh, something is happening. You're starting to chew on this a little bit more. But here's the reality. We're not sure, so I don't want to make it doctrine because the Bible doesn't tell me he was 33. But what I do know is that Abraham was probably 130 by now. And I have a feeling this 130-year-old man was no match. He couldn't rumble with Isaac. Am I right about that? But strangely, Abraham could not rumble with Isaac. But get the picture. Isaac is tied up and he's on an altar. How in the world did that happen? How does Isaac, this young man in his prime, how does he end up tied up on the altar? Isaac obviously had decided that if this is what God wanted, come on now. Isaac had decided if this is what God wanted, if God wanted him as a sacrifice, if God wanted his life, Isaac was saying, God, I am willing. Here I am. Daddy, tie me and put me on the altar. So listen, the first mention of worship in Scripture is about a sacrifice. Here is the big question. Does God still expect a sacrifice? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We're going to put it on the screen for you so we all see this. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And here's what it says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as what? A living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And the NIV says, this is your what? True and proper worship. GCA, thank God for the music. But the music is only to support this consecration. Worship begins with consecration. Worship begins with my offering my body, myself, as a sacrifice. That's what we find. Worship requires that we offer ourselves as a sacrifice. Amen?
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
That's what Isaac did. He was a young adult, just like many of those here this morning. Your life is in front of you. Isaac's life was in front of him. But Isaac willingly lay on the altar. Isaac willingly said, God, here am I. You can have me. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that, young person? Teenager, young adult, older person. Oh, you say I'm worshiping. Worship requires a sacrifice. A sacrifice of ourselves. That's what the Bible is talking about. A woman asked her pastor. She said, Pastor, what's the meaning of consecration? The pastor handed her a blank piece of paper. And he gave her this blank sheet of paper. And he said, a consecration is to sign your name at the bottom of this blank sheet of paper. And to tell God, God, you can fill in the blank any way you want. Are you there? You know, sadly, too often Christians are satisfied with having salvation without consecration. Am I right about that? Too often we're satisfied with salvation without consecration. We don't want to get too fanatic about this. After all, God, this business of my giving, let's be reasonable, God. Let's be reasonable, God. I got a life to live. God, how could you expect me to turn over my life to you and to tell you you can fill in the blanks? So we hold on. Then after a while, we start to realize that our lives are missing spiritual power. Has it ever occurred to you that you might be a Christian and that there is a shortage of spiritual power? So sometimes what we do is we decide, I better go to one of these churches where they speak in tongues and where they baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Probably that's when I will get some fire. But listen, it's not about speaking in tongues. It's not about being baptized with the Holy Spirit, because you have all the Holy Spirit you'll ever get. Amen. He said, Pastor, how do you know that? Because the Holy Spirit is a person, and if you have the Holy Spirit, you have all of Him. Amen. The issue is not getting something. The issue is that something needs to be on the altar, because an empty altar needs no fire. Get that? An empty altar needs no fire. There ain't nothing for the fire to work with. This morning, God would challenge us as we talk about worship. And He's saying, it's time. It's time for consecration. It's time to say, God, I am willing to be a living sacrifice. I am willing to dedicate myself to you. When that happens, your worship experience is going to find a dimension that you have never experienced before. When that happens, your life, you are going to find that you are starting on a grand new adventure with God. Little did Isaac know what God was going to do with him. Little do we know, worship requires sacrifice. But second, true worship requires cost. Let's look at Genesis 22, verse 2. God says to Abraham, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Listen, there was no greater cost than Abraham could have been asked to pay the gift of his son. There's a great lesson. Keep your finger in Genesis 22. But there's a great lesson that God wants us to learn. And it's coming from the book of 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. If you don't mind, turn there with me while I give you a little bit of the background of 2 Samuel chapter 24. David had sinned by numbering Israel's fighting strength. You see, it's not wrong to take a census, but David was numbering the fighting strength because he really didn't want to depend too much on God. He wanted to depend on his military. God was angry, and God decided he was going to punish Israel by sending a plague. I'm shortening the story, but David repented, and God told David that he needed to erect an altar to the Lord, and he should offer sacrifices on this altar. And God set a specific place where this altar was to be. God said, you are to erect the altar on the threshing floor of Arana, the Jebusite. So, of course, David now has to go to Arana, and David approaches Arana, and he asks him to sell him his threshing floor, because he had better obey God's instructions. And David goes to Arana. He says to him, would you please sell me your threshing floor, because I have got to build an altar to the Lord, because unless I do that, this plague will not be stopped. Let's pick up 2 Samuel 24, verse 22. Now Arana said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing implements and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All these, O king, Arana has given to the king. Notice what he has done. Arana has done what? Given to the king. And Arana said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. Then the king said to Arana, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. Amen. Arana offered to give David all he needed for free. But true worship involves a cost. David refused to make an offering to God that cost him nothing. I read a story that some years ago, the Butterball Turkey Company got a phone call from somebody who had a Butterball turkey in their freezer. And they had the turkey in the freezer for 23 years. And they called the Butterball's helpline and they wanted to find out, is this turkey still good? And so the lady on the phone said, you know, well, if it has been frozen and the freezer has always been at zero, whatever the proper temperature is, if it has been at that temperature the entire time, it should be good. But the lady said, the only problem I can promise you, it will have lost its flavor. The lady said, that's what we thought. Thank you, we'll give it to the church. Do you realize that sometimes if we're not careful as Christians, God gets what we don't want. God gets a tip. David says, I am not going to give to God something that what? Does not cost me. I will not give something that costs me nothing. Have you ever noticed that when the offering bag is passing, if you have $100 in church, $100 seems so big when you're in church. But when you get to the mall, it seems so small at the mall. Am I right about it? Oh, God is talking to somebody here this morning. God is saying to somebody here this morning, it's time for a change. I wasn't going to say this, but since it pops into my mind, somebody asked me recently, does this church teach tithing? And I said, you know how I look at tithing? We don't really teach tithing. Tithing is a principle in scripture. But I said, you know, when my children were younger, for some of them, when it was time for them to learn to ride a bicycle, we attached to the bicycle training wheels. And so with them, with the training wheels, I want to be close just in case. But I wasn't too worried because the training wheels helped them. But after a while, I thought it was time to take off the training wheels. So, of course, I had to hold on to this seat. Christians have a tough time tithing. But do you know I believe tithing is where we should start? Tithing, honest to goodness, I believe is where we should start, not where we should end. Tithing is given to us as a principle to teach us that God ought to get at least the tenth. They had to give it. But the Bible talks about a tithe and an offering. Listen, by God's grace, somebody needs to be praying this morning, God, I want to go beyond the training wheels. Amen. I've been a Christian long enough. God, I'm struggling with 10%. Help me to go beyond by faith.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It would certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.